From the campuses of Colgate University in Hamilton, New York, and Princeton University in Princeton, New Jersey, the National Broadcasting Company presents the College Quiz Bowl. Tonight, Colgate University is back to defend their title in the College Quiz Bowl. And to challenge them, we have the gentleman from Princeton University in Princeton, New Jersey. Now, here in Radio City, New York, is your master of the quiz, Alan, I've got a football under my arm, Ludden.
Hi there, everybody. It's good to have you with us for another intercollegiate battle of the brains. Now, before we get along with our game, let's meet the teams. First, let's go down to Princeton University, where they operate on the basis that the only true education is self-education. And to our good friend Fred Collins of station WRCA New York City, who is on loan tonight to Princeton. Fred, did you make it?
Of course, Alan. I'm right here among the halls of Ivy. And with me are four stout-hearted Princetonians prepared to uphold the proud tradition of Princeton. And here they are to introduce themselves.
Jim Kohler, Akron, Ohio.
Bill Lawler, Winnetka, Illinois.
And Dick Kluger, New York City.
Charles Breed, New York City.
Now there you have the team from Princeton University in Princeton, New Jersey. Now let's move upstate New York to Colgate University in Hamilton, New York, where Bob Whitney of station WSYR Syracuse is standing by to referee for the Colgate team. How's everything among those Colgate halls of Ivy, Bob?
Well, just great, Alan. Excitement certainly prevailed up here over last week's victory, and our four stalwart gentlemen are prepared to hold on to their title. Here they are to say hello.
Peter Gould, Sulcombe, South Devon, England.
Marty Hyatt, Spring Valley, New York.
Andrew Tangless, Jamestown, New York.
Tito Macias, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
All right, there you've met both teams. Now, before Roger Tuttle explains our rules, may I point out the fact that we recognize that here in the College Quiz Bowl, we are putting the emphasis on a quick recall of specific facts. But we're also trying to give you an opportunity to meet a few of the many, many remarkable, well-rounded personalities to be found today on every American campus. Okay, now how about the rules, Rog?
All right, Alan, and here they are. Alan Ludden asks a toss-up question worth 10 points. And the first team to signal it knows the answer gets a chance to answer it. When Princeton University signals, you'll hear... And when Colgate University signals, you'll hear... By means of a special electronic selector, the team which signals first, even by a split second, activates its light here in New York City and makes it impossible for the other team's light to flash. Now, if a team gives a wrong answer to the toss-up question, the other team is given a chance to answer it. And whichever team gives the right answer gets a bonus question worth a stated number of points. The team with the most points at the end of the game is the winner and will return next week to defend its title here in the College Quiz Bowl.
Thank you, Roger. Now, remember, teams, you may interrupt a toss-up question before I've finished asking it. But if you do, and if your answer is wrong, your team will be penalized 5 points, and I'll have to repeat the question, giving the other team a free crack at it. Okay, those are the rules, and that's the opening whistle, so let's go. Your first bonus question tonight is worth 30 points. Here's the toss-up that could get it for you. For 10 points, in what year did a man last step down from the Supreme Court bench? Colgate.
Marty Hyatt.
1916.
That's right, 1916. I was to ask, did he last step down from the Supreme Court bench to run for president? In 1916, Charles Evans Hughes did just that, and you got Marty Hyatt a 10-point bonus and a chance at a 30-point win. A 10-point toss-up, rather, and a chance at a 30-point bonus for Colgate. Now, you know, Colgate, Helen's face launched 1,000 ships. Jenkins' ear started a war. For 10 points apiece, whose hair was snipped, then swiped, causing a quarrel between two families?
That wouldn't have anything to do with Samson, no.
That's so.
Hair. Well, that wouldn't be anything in Shakespeare.
No.
No.
But it would be. Ready?
Tecumseh.
No, it would be in Pope's Rape of the Lock, Belinda's hair described, you know, there, or Miss Arabella Fermor's, all right? Whose hips were hurly-burly for 10 points?
It's from South Pacific.
101 pounds of honey bun.
Honey bun, right, for 10 points. Okay, whose head was replaced by the head of an animal during a wedding rehearsal?
Oh, that's from Midsummer's Night's Dream.
It's Bottom.
Bottom's head for 10 points. Okay, you got two out of the three. Now we got a 20-point bonus coming up here. And a toss-up that'll get it for you is this one. Here we go. If an optometrist were to prescribe glasses for the three Gorgons, how many separate lenses would have to be made? Colgate.
Peter Gould.
It would be 21.
Can you take it, Princeton?
Charles Freed.
6.
No, 1. The three Gorgons had only one eye between them, remember? And they used to pass it around from one to the other. Okay, you still got a chance at a 20-point bonus here.
Sorry.
That was the one from way out in left field mythology. Here's the toss-up. At the beginning of this century, a famous American traveler took a trip to London. Now, on that occasion, the English magazine Punch suggested that the lions in Trafalgar Square clearly be labeled not to be killed. Now, for 10 points... Princeton.
Charles Freed.
Theodore Roosevelt.
That's right, for 10 points. I was asking who was the traveler, and you said Theodore Roosevelt, and that's who it was. Here's a 20-point bonus for you, Princeton. On December 2nd, 1942, the following telegraph message was sent. Quote, "The Italian navigator has landed. The natives are friendly." Now, for 20 points, Princeton, what did that message mean? Princeton? You could make 20 points here.
Can we have it again?
The Italian navigator has landed. The natives are friendly.
What year was that?
1942. On a bonus question, you're allowed to work, but not too long.
Was that...
during the war?
Was it during the war?
The time is called. That was the first self-sustaining nuclear chain reaction had been made to work by Fermi and a group of researchers. That was the way in which they informed everybody. Okay, now before we move along to another toss-up question, let's find out what the stakes are in this game, Roger.
Each week, the National Broadcasting Company will award to the school of the winning team a $500 cash award to be administered by the college. Now, this may go to a scholarship fund or to a campus activity. And each member of the losing team will receive an attractive and dependable Whitnor wristwatch, a distinguished product of the Longines Whitnor Watch Company, since 1866, makers of watches of the highest character. Well, those are the stakes. Now, with 14 and a half minutes to go, the score, Princeton University 10, Colgate University 30. Back to another toss-up question, Alan.
Okay, and this is a musical toss-up. Hold on to your hats. This song was recently performed in a musical adaptation of a well-known stage play. Now, for 10 points, name the author of the play. Colgate.
Andy Tangelo.
That would be Wilder.
Thornton Wilder. I'll accept the last name on an author. All right, that's right. Our town, of course, being the play. And you got it, Andy. Here's a 25-point bonus that you earned by remembering that. Quick 5 points apiece, Colgate. Name the specific product associated with each of the following slogans. 5 points apiece. The skin you love to touch.
Soap.
Soap.
Ivory soap.
Woodbury. Can I accept it? All right, Woodbury, I'll accept. All right, the specific product, but work fast. When it rains, it pours.
Morton salt.
Think.
IBM.
IBM, International Business Machine. Right, for 5 points. Covers the earth.
Paint.
It's William Sherwood Williams.
Sherman Williams, right, Sherwood for Williams. 5 points. From contented cows.
Carnation milk.
Right, for the full 25 points. I've got a musical bonus worth... A musical bonus worth 20 points coming up. Okay, here's your toss-up that might get it for you. Now, you know, you Princeton and Colgate men might have approved the romantic impulse, but you would have deplored the unromantic results of the actions of a certain nursery rhyme character. Now, for 10 points, name the character. You would have loved the impulse, but you would have hated the results. Who's the character? Georgie Porgy, who kissed the girls and made them cry. Okay, you still got a 20-point bonus coming up. It's a musical bonus. Here's a toss-up. Where's the nursery rhyme tonight? All right, for 10 points. Quote, the last words uttered by King Richard in Shakespeare's Richard III. A horse, my kingdom for a horse. Okay, you still got a 20-point musical bonus coming up, and here's your toss-up for 10 points. What president came first, Taylor, Polk, or Tyler? Colgate.
Marty Hyatt.
Tyler.
Right, for 10 points. Okay, Marty, you've got a 20-point musical bonus here for Colgate. Now, both of the following songs are from musical adaptations of famous stage plays. Now, for 10 points apiece, you are to name the plays from which they were adapted. First...
Oh,
I'm sweeping down the plain.
The play.
The play from which that is?
Yeah, the play from which Oklahoma was adapted. What did he say?
About green rushes?
Green grow the rushes?
Mr. McGregor
green
said
grow
he.
The lilacs?
Yeah, well, green grow the lilacs. Mr. McGregor heard you before I did. I got to put both earphones on. All right, here we go. Now, you got 10 points there. Oh, now tell me the play from which this musical adaptation was played. Song from a musical adaptation of a great play. What was the play?
It's a lovely tune.
Yes, it is. It's a lovely tune. It's from Chocolate Soldier, which was based on George Bernard Shaw's Arms of the Man. Score and time, Roger.
Right now, Alan, 11 minutes to go. Princeton has 10. Colgate has climbed to 85.
Okay. I got a 20-point bonus in the offing, and here's your toss-up for 10 points. Name the man who recently replaced a 50-day wonder. Princeton.
Richard Kluger.
He's the president of Argentina.
Can you take it?
Aramburu.
Aramburu, he said. Aramburu. That is right. For 10 points. You got it. Yeah! Move right in on a toss-up answer, though. I can't have any. All right, you got a 20-point bonus there, Princeton. Uncle Joe Stalin participated in the Russian Revolution. Now, for 20 points, what uncle precipitated the Jameson Raid?
Oh, Paul Kruger, I think.
That's right, yeah. Paul Kruger. Paul. Uncle Paul. South African statesman during the Boer War. You got 20 points, Princeton. Okay, scoring time now, Rod.
Right now, Alan, the score is up on its way. 10 minutes to go. Princeton now has 40 points against Colgate's 85.
And I have a 20-point bonus in the offing. Here's your toss-up for 10 points. Quote the two lines of verse that immediately follow these. And the night shall be filled with music and the cares that infest the day. Oh, shall fold their tents like the Arabs and silently steal away. Longfellow's day is done. Well, coming up still, a 20-point bonus here to toss-up. When Ulysses returned home from his wanderings, who was the first to recognize? Colgate.
Here, Gould. It was his dog.
That's his dog is right. What was his name? You know his name, the dog's name.
No, Alan, I don't.
Argus was his name, but I will accept dog. All right, you got a 20-point bonus, Colgate, for 20 points. Now, you have to identify the subject of the following description. He was 46 years old now in April 1920, and he made nothing in particular, neither butter nor shoes nor poetry, but he was nimble in the calling of selling houses for more than people could afford to pay. About whom was that written?
Born in the 70s.
Nope. It is from George Babbitt. It is about George Babbitt in the Sinclair Lewis novel.
Hold it, Alan. That's the halftime whistle, which calls for a timeout.
Okay, now we're going to take out about a minute and talk to each of these two teams. We're going to meet the gentlemen in each team. First, let's meet the challengers tonight. From Princeton University, Richard Kluger. How are you classified, sir?
Yeah, I'm a senior in the English department, Alan.
And your plans upon graduation?
Well, I hope to go to Columbia University School of Journalism and then go into that field upon graduation from there.
I see you're going to Columbia, huh?
Right, I hope so.
Charles Freed, how are you classified?
I'm a senior in the Department of Modern Languages.
And your what are your plans?
As far as plans, I'm not really finally decided yet.
When do you plan to decide?
Well, fairly soon, I guess. Better.
Bill Lawler, how are you classified, sir?
I'm a senior in the Department of History, and I rather imagine I'll be going into investment banking after I graduate.
See, what about the Army?
Well, I don't know about that. I think they might have more to say about that than I will.
All right. James Kohler.
I'm a senior in Politics Department.
In the Politics Department?
Yes. No politician, I'm afraid.
Oh, I see. Your plans?
Probably law school.
And your hometown again?
Akron, Ohio.
Good to have you with us tonight, gentlemen, and from Princeton University. Now, let's move up to Colgate University. But first, may I say this. You know, we never said that we know everything, although we do our best here, the writers and the researchers, to keep out of trouble. But last week, I said no to an answer which was yes. That is, there were two answers, and we had only one of them down as a correct. So the Mount Holyoke girls got a no for a yes. And we are all very, very sorry about it. Now, we've promised them, Mount Holyoke, a return engagement later in the season to make up for it. We want to extend tonight our apologies to Mount Holyoke, and we want to thank all of you who have called and written, and I mean there have been a lot of you, and we do appreciate it. We want to thank you all because you knew the answer better than we did, and we hope you'll forgive us. Okay, now let's meet this team from Colgate University. We didn't get a chance to meet you last week. Peter Gould, how are you classified, sir?
I'm a senior and a geography major, Alan.
Marty Hyatt?
I'm a senior and a political science major, Alan.
Your plans, Marty?
Well, I hope to be able to go to Australia and then to law school after that.
All right, Arturo Macias. Macias.
That's right.
I said it wrong. What do they call you, Tico?
Tito, that's
Tito.
Right.
Tito Macias, what are your plans?
I'm a junior and a history major. I think I'll go on to graduate school, Alan.
Where?
University of Wisconsin, probably.
A good school, being from Milwaukee, good to hear it. Andro Tangelis, what are your plans, sir?
Well, I'm a junior, Alan, history major in graduate school.
Okay, there's the whistle, so let's get back to the game, huh?
Right, Alan, we have 6 minutes to go. Princeton University has 40, Colgate has 95, and back to another toss-up question.
And I have a 20-point musical bonus in the offing. Here's the toss-up that could get it for you. For 10 points, the last name of what Russian author sounds like being rude to one's relatives? Princeton.
Richard Kruger. Pushkin.
Pushkin is right for 10 points. Okay, Princeton, we got a musical geography question. A musical geography question. Now listen to these two compositions. Then you're to answer this question. If the composer of the first piece were to travel in a straight line from his native country to the native country of the composer of the second piece, what two bodies of water would he have to cross? All right, first. All right, the composer, the native land of the composer of that piece is important. Now, he's going to travel from his native land in a straight line to the native land of the composer of this piece. Now, what two bodies of water would he have to cross? Princeton.
That's the Black Sea and the Mediterranean.
No, I'm sorry.
He goes through the Baltic is one.
I'm afraid you got the directions wrong because you got the composer of the first one was De Falla from Spain going to Romania. UNESCO wrote the Romanian Rhapsody, the second one. He would have had to cross the Mediterranean and the Adriatic seas. Okay, I still got a 20-point bonus coming up here. And here's a toss-up that might get it for you for 10 points. With what do you associate the following letters? A, B, A, B, C, D, C, D, E, F, E, F, G, G. Tristan.
It's the rhyme scheme of a sonnet.
All right, I'll accept it. It's the rhyme scheme of a Shakespearean sonnet, yeah, but that's right for 10 points. Okay, you got another 10 points. Here's a 20-point bonus for you, Princeton. In 1918, Clemenceau commented, Le bon Dieu n'avait que 10. For 20 points, if you can translate that bad French, what prompted this remark? Le bon Dieu n'avait que 10.
It means a good God only had 10.
Now, what prompted that remark?
Good God that he only had 10. Good God
only had 10. Yes.
It's probably about a composer who only wrote.
What prompted the remark?
It was 1918, which is
the time is called. Wilson's 14 points. Clemenceau, on hearing Wilson had 14, said the good Lord only had 10. All right, I have a 20-point bonus in the offing. Here's your toss-up for 10 points. On February 26, what did George Smith do? What did George Smith do on February 26th? No takers? He bailed out of an airplane traveling at supersonic speed and survived. Here, scoring time, Rod.
Right now, Alan, we have 2.5 minutes to go. Princeton has 60, Colgate has 95, and we're sort of stalemated.
And I have a 20-point bonus coming up here still. Here we go with another toss-up for 10 points. Tell us, over what two girls did Agamemnon and Achilles quarrel? Princeton.
One of them was a captive, which they've gotten.
Can you take it, Colgate?
We'll try. Peter Gould. Was it Helen for one?
No, it was Briseis and Chryseis, roughly pronounced. Here's another 20. Here's a 10-point toss-up for you with a 20-point bonus still in the offing. For 10 points, name the nursery rhyme character who, according to his own self-satisfied words, was extremely virtuous. To Princeton.
Richard Kluger.
Georgie Porgy.
No, they had him. Can you take it? Oh, I got a penalized with 5 points. They repeated? No, they did not interrupt.
No, it's a...
All right, I'll repeat... Can you take it, Colgate?
Would
yes,
you repeat it? Would you repeat it, Alan?
No, not at the toss-up. I'm sorry.
All right, Vito Macias.
Little Jack Horner.
That's right, Little Jack Horner. On a toss-up question, but it's not interrupted. I do not repeat it, but it is. Little Jack Horner, who said, but a good boy and I. Okay, you got a 20-point bonus here. Here it is. I've been trying to give this away now. It's a 20-point bonus for you, Colgate. I'm going to quote the first two words of the third verse of a familiar song. Now, for 20 points, you are to take up where I leave off and complete the verse. No refuge could save the hireling. Complete it. Colgate.
Is it the Star Sandman?
No refuge could save.
No refuge could save the hireling.
What's the song?
Maybe something on the statue. No.
And slave for the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave and the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave or the land of the free and the home of the brave. Okay, a 20-point bonus in the office. Shame on you. Here's the toss-up. For 10 points, tell us. She called Iphigenia sister and Orestes brother. For 10 points, who was she? Princeton.
Richard Kluger.
Antigone.
Can you take it, Colgate? No, take it.
Okay. Electra?
Electra is right for 10 points. I have a 20-point bonus in the offing. Here's your toss-up for 10 points. How did a former German tennis ace... How did a former German tennis ace make headlines recently?
He married...
Hold it. It's a toss-up.
We got the last...
Repeat the question.
I'm sorry. Here's your bonus question for you for 20 points. Wow.
Alan, I'm sorry, or am I? The time is up for this evening. The game is over, and that wouldn't have made any difference, that last question. Anyway, the final score being tonight, Princeton University has 60 points, Colgate already has 115, and they are the winner. To each member of the Princeton team, it's our pleasure to award an attractive and dependable Ritnor wristwatch, a distinguished product of the Longines Ritnor Watch Company. Since 1866, makers of watches of the highest character. And for fielding the winning team tonight, Colgate University will receive a $500 cash award from the National Broadcasting Company to be administered by the college. And these varsity scholars from Colgate will return next week to meet Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut, in this All-American College Quiz Game. Here once again, your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
I want to congratulate the fine gentleman from Princeton University. You did a very good job tonight. For Dick Kruger, Charles Freed, Bill Lawler, and James Kohler. It was great having you gentlemen from Princeton with us. I got so excited there at the end that I was not going to give them that bonus question, which they were entitled to. Now, next week, the team from Colgate that seems to be rolling along will meet the team from Wesleyan University. And in the following weeks here in the College Quiz Bowl, we're going to have varsity scholars from Georgetown University, Washington, D.C., and Chicago University in Chicago, Illinois. And I want to say again, for all of us on College Quiz Bowl, it's been a great pleasure hearing from you all. I trust you will always be as concerned with the decisions we make here under the heat of battle. Thank you all again. I'll see you next week. So long, everybody.
Your referees tonight were, for Princeton University, Fred Collins of station WRCA in New York City, and for Colgate University, Bob Whitney of station WSYR in Syracuse, New York. College Quiz Bowl is an NBC Radio Network presentation, originated and produced by John Moses and Don Reed, written by Nancy Pobes and directed by Ken McGregor, Roger Tuttle speaking.
Monitor takes you everywhere each weekend on NBC Radio.